Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
How y'all doing? Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I swear I said Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that means Schomburg Stu is here. How are you, Stu?
Well, I'm enjoying the wonderful September weather.
Oh, yes. So, all right. Well, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. And yeah, sadly, still no Stu on Twitter, but you can hunt me down at Burke Time, and I will forward anything you want to tell Stu to him. Yeah, pretty much anything. That would work out. All right. Well, the NFL came back last night, Stu, and apparently not as many people cared as normal as they took a gigantic hit in the ratings. Now, you know, traditionally ratings are always down in an election year, which is just one of those weird things, but this was more than that. Are you surprised, and B, do you wonder, or do you have any reason why you think maybe it happened?
I wonder if a lot of people didn't even know that the first game of the season was scheduled for last night, despite all the publicity. And maybe it will be a slow-going thing. We'll see if the season actually gets underway officially and continues from week to week before you start to pay attention to it. And it was a pretty decent marquee matchup last night, too, which did surprise me about the ratings going so poorly for them.
Yeah, you know, and obviously I know it doesn't have an effect on the start of the ratings, but I watched the start of the game, and I was actually bored rather quickly. It was basically preseason with your starters in the entire game, you know, because they didn't have a preseason. And then it turned into a blowout. Now, I know the Chiefs, you know, it got a little closer, but the Chiefs were up, I believe, 34-7 at one point, and I think it ended 34-20. So, it's two teams that you expect to see in the playoffs, it wasn't a very good game.
You think the lack of preseason games turned the fans off a little bit? They weren't ready to gear up for the beginning of the season?
Yeah, you know, I wonder if, you know, kind of like players, you know, fans need that tune-up as well, you know, to kind of get them going and, you know, get them, you know, in the mood to watch football, you know, because obviously every other season has an exhibition season. And I still don't understand why they couldn't have played one preseason game. You know, for whatever reason, the players and the Players Association made a huge deal out of it. And, you know, I get it. They don't like the preseason. But really, would one game have been that big of an issue?
I think it would have helped them. And I think that there's going to be rust showing for all the teams in the first two or three games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I assume Sunday's action is going to be really sloppy. You know, the one advantage, which I know the NFL loves, is, you know, offense will probably be ahead of defense, so there'll probably be a lot more points scored than expected, unless teams are just content to run the football. You know, because the Chiefs probably could have kept scoring last night, except they decided to run the ball They were kind of having their way with the Texans defense, and you know, it was just kind of like, well, okay, now we're going to run the ball at them to just get the time off the clock and see if we can get this fiasco over with. So we'll, you know, we'll see. And I mean, I, you know, I don't know who or if it excited anybody for Sunday, but you know, we'll see if those ratings are any better, but I'm sure, you know, the NFL is less than happy with the way this, you know, this started out for them.
I look for a bounce back, though, Sunday. Traditionally, the games, well, at least in years past, but traditionally the games would all be on Sunday, and everybody is kind of gearing up for football, and maybe if they could, the fans saying, okay, it's Sunday, the real deal. This is traditional football time in the NFL. Let's tune in and see what's going on.
Yeah, you know, and that may be part of it. I mean, you know, really, if you're not a fan of the Texans or the Chiefs, you know, with everything else going on, you know, what's your motivation for tuning in? You know, I mean, you know, there was baseball. You know, I think everybody played. There was baseball, hockey, basketball. We had football. The WNBA played, and there was even a NASCAR series truck race, you know, not to mention the U.S. Open, which is what I ended up watching a lot of. I watched Serena Williams get beat last night because I had picked her to win in my streak for the cash bet, and so I figured I would check it out, and of course she lost, and I believe she got injured.
Right? She kind of dominated the first set very easily. And I'm sure the injury was a big factor in her losing.
So, but yeah, so, you know, you gotta, you know, and I mean, I know there are a lot of people who the NFL is their number one, but you gotta think if you've got a baseball team contending, which there are a lot of them with this new playoff system, you know, it's possible you tuned into that, or, you know, I'm trying to remember who played last night in the NBA and the NHL, but, you know, again, if they're your teams, you know, you may have tuned in to watch that over, you know, the football game, because obviously that's closer to home. So, a lot of options where on Sunday afternoon, I don't think we're going to have, you know, all these choices. And I mean, in reality, I'm sure football still outdrew all the other sports, especially the NBA, which is just a dumpster fire. But again, you know, I read, it was down 13% from last year, and that's a big decline.
I think because one of the factors, as you pointed out, though, is that there's playoffs going on in hockey and basketball. And if you're a local fan interested in your team playing in those playoffs, you might be more inclined to watch those games than the first game of the football season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you would think, you know, I guess, you know, unless, I mean, there's always, you know, other reasons and stuff, but, you know, you would think if, you know, even if you're a diehard NFL fan, you know, if your team is that close, I mean, you know, the NHL is, what, one series away from the Stanley Cup, and I think the NBA is in their semifinals as well, or almost. I think we're almost there. So,
well,
you know, they're
– I thought NBC made a good choice, though, in picking Kansas City because they're defending Super Bowl champions, and they got a kind of a cult leader now in their quarterback. So that would – I thought would have garnered more rating points than it actually did.
Yeah, well, you know, I do wonder how much it hurt the viewing in Kansas City when the Royals pitcher went out and threw like 7 2/3 no-hit innings. I kind of wonder how many people were like flipping back and forth to see how
I'm
he
sure
was doing.
Were. He was a rookie,
so,
too, what, that pitcher, wasn't he? Wasn't that his first start?
You know, I believe so. What is it, Brady Singer was his name. I don't know too much about him. I'm sure he's been picked up in every fantasy league, though, since last night. So we'll get to know, you know, people will get to know more about them. But, I just wonder, you know, I wonder how much, you know, that hurt it or, you know, locally. And then, like I said, it just wasn't a good game. You know, no, there just
the
wasn't.
The score sounds closer than the actual game went, really, when they got a couple of token scores at the end. But it was a pretty one-sided contest from the get-go.
So yeah, because that you get to hear all the fantasy guys now, because you know Kansas City had the hot rookie running back, this Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who went out and had a fantastic game. But what people just kind of forget to realize is he picked up a lot of those numbers in garbage time. You know, yeah, he got a 100-yard game, and you know he got the rushing touchdown, and you know he'll have big numbers this week, but. You know, you can't really tell what they're going to be because, you know, like I said, he racked a lot of them up when the game was over. You know, and you can just look at the fact that, you know, Mahomes only threw for 211 yards. So, you know, that tells you right there that Kansas City dialed it back. You know, they got the big lead and then they just kind of hit cruise control. So,
yeah, I'm not quite sure that he's going to get garnered that much favoritism from the people who participate in the various fantasy leagues, because most of his yardage was gained during a meaningless time in the contest.
Well, no, you know, having our fantasy drafts, you know, last week and stuff, he was a hot name. You know, he was a top five running back, and you know that's a lot of praise for a rookie who you've never seen play in preseason. You know, and that always kind of baffled me because I'm kind of like, how do you put him there? I mean, we haven't seen him. We didn't know his function in the offense, you know, and then late last week there were some reports that I believe it's Darren Williams is the other back was going to get a few more carries. I think he got 7 last night, and apparently he may be the better pass receiver. So down the road in, you know, tighter, tougher games, it'll be interesting to see how this pans out. But, you know, I guess, you know, you're a fantasy player. You need something to get excited about. So you kind of glom on to whoever the experts think is going to hit and hope it works out.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the people who participate heavily in fantasy leagues are going to have their hands full for the first 3 or 4 games of the season.
Yeah, well, you know, I can honestly tell you the worst year I ever had in fantasy was the first year I had Sirius XM radio, and I would listen to the Fantasy Channel all the time to, you know, get their advice and take their advice. So, you know, I based my draft off of a lot of suggestions they had, and my team stunk, and it seemed like a lot of other people's team stunk. And then towards the end of the year, when people started calling them out on it, they just flat out denied it. And I just turned the channel off, and I don't think I've turned it back on since. You know, because,
yeah,
I mean, you know, if you're wrong, just say you're wrong. I mean, you know, it happens. We all blow, fantasy picks. I mean, I'm sure I took guys early in drafts that are going to tank on me this year that, you know, like the big mistake I made was in baseball. You know, I believed the hype that the starting pitchers weren't going to log a lot of innings. So Mr. Fantasy and I focused on taking relievers for our money league. And then after the first week was over, we had to cut all our relievers and get starters because starters were pitching innings, you know, even though the belief was they wouldn't.
Yeah, that's been kind of a surprise, but it's been pretty consistent from the beginning of the season. And continuing now.
So, yeah, and I mean, I'll fully admit I blew that completely. You know, I mean, I was, you know, like I heard Dave Roberts say that he didn't think starters would be going more than 3 or 4 innings. I'm like, well, he's the manager of the team. He's probably got some insight. You know, I heard some of the other baseball experts suggest the exact same thing. And, you know, the more I looked at it, I said, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, they had a little bit of time to work out, but not much. And, you know, so it makes sense for them to go short and the bullpens to be a big deal. And yeah, it completely blew up in my face, and I was wrong, but for whatever reason, these guys on the radio couldn't admit that they made a mistake. And it was just like, well, I don't need to listen to these guys. Obviously, they don't know what they're talking about. It'd be better if I was on the air making bad fantasy advice. So
yeah, really. And you have to ask yourself this question, by the way. The pitchers who have pitched heavy innings during the duration of the short season, how are they going to do in the playoffs?
You know, you would think with the break they would be okay. You know, I mean, since the season is so short and, you know, they're not logging, you know, large inning totals. So I don't think there's any reason why they just shouldn't be able to roll it right, you know, just keep right on rolling and, you know, whatever they have to happen. I want to look here and see who's thrown the most innings this year, starting pitching-wise. But you know how it goes. When I need something, my computer doesn't want to cooperate here.
Yeah, you have to take it twice and get it going.
Yeah. You know, Lance Lynn right now has 64 and a third innings. Obviously, he's not going to matter because the Rangers aren't going to the playoffs. So we find the first playoff pitcher, and it's Gerrit Cole. He's at 59 innings. That total will go up. He's pitching today. So, yeah, I mean, you know, 59 isn't that big a deal. He's making his 11th start. He'll probably get two more starts, so he'll only be at 13 starts. You know, and I mean, even he's not even averaging six innings a start. So, I don't think they're logging enough innings for it to really be a burden come playoff time.
You know, we've been talking about the fact that with this crazy season, there could be some major upsets in the playoffs. Do you think the first round might be the round where there could be some really significant upsets? Because don't forget, it's only three games.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if it's going to happen, I believe that's where something is going to take place. You know, I just, it's so difficult for the better team to lose in a seven-game series. And, you know, necessarily the better team isn't the higher-seeded team. You know, I mean, there's a chance the White Sox could win the Central, but I don't know if I would take them against the Twins or the Indians in a seven-game series if it came down to that. So, but yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, another, you know, a team like the White Sox, they could drop one of those three-game series. You know, they're young, they're immature. You know, now Dallas Keuchel's hurt, so it's Lucas Giolito and just kind of a, you know, Dylan Cease, and you got to hope somebody else steps up.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, a team like that could easily go out. You know, I mean, the Cubs are laughable, and they could be beat by anybody. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they played the Marlins in the first round and got knocked out just because basically they're a bunch of choke artists who care more about who's going to be on their team next year than they do about winning games this year.
But I think the Cubs actually have a good chance to win the first round. I'd be more confident in the Cubs winning the first round than any other round after that, because they would have Darvish and Hendricks pitching.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they get a huge advantage with Darvish. Of course, you know, Hendricks hasn't been fantastic. So, you know, it would be interesting to see, you know, like right now, I'm trying to think who they match up with now. Is it would it be the Phillies, or do they get, they might get the Cardinals. And in either way, it's not going to be a favorable matchup. So I won't be surprised at all if they go out in the first round. You know, that won't shock me at all. So,
well, the way their offense has looked the last month and a half, that would not be a major shock, of course. And did I read that the World Series is going to be held in a neutral site this year? Is that the plan?
You know, I don't think they've officially announced it yet. It's something they've talked about, so, you know, they can get it in uninterrupted. You know, and obviously with no fans, it doesn't matter. You know, so they were talking about trying to do the bubble setup like the NBA and the NHL has done. You know, and either pick a dome or a warm weather city where they can just go and you know, take the players for what it'd take, what, about 2 weeks to get it done. You know, and then there, you know, there wouldn't be any issues and they could kind of self quarantine them. But yeah, I haven't heard anything official yet on that.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see if that happened. And with no fans in the stands, the only advantage that say a team that has a home field advantage in a best of seven would get would be the angles of the way the stadium is configured and the way the ball bounces off there, and they're more familiar with the way it does that caroms off the wall than their opponents.
Yeah, and, you know, and of course the fact you get to hit last, you know. But yeah, other than there's not much to, you know, not much left other than that. So, you know, we'll have to see. You know, I know, like I did see today that baseball announced they've had 12 straight days with no positive tests. So, you know, obviously that's a very good thing, you know, and we'll have to see how, you know, if or how that continues. But, yeah, you know, it's probably not a bad idea if they were to, you know, if they were to say, hey, let's go here, let's play here. You know, and I mean, in reality, maybe you go to a state that allows a select number of people in so you can get a little bit of a gate, you know, because I think last night in Kansas City they were allowed 16,000 fans. So, you know, you get a little more excitement, you know, in those kind of scenarios. But I did look here. I was trying to figure it out. The Cubs would actually play the Cardinals in the first round. And after last weekend, I would see no problem with the Cardinals being able to beat them in a short series.
Yeah, I wouldn't like
even
the Cubs against the Cardinals
even
in the first round. Yeah, it wouldn't look good. Yeah. I would probably pick the Cardinals myself. You mentioned there were 16,000 fans. There were 16,000 fans last night in the game, right? The Kansas City game?
Yeah.
How were they selected? Were they selected by lottery? Were they season ticket holders selected by lottery?
What apparently they did is they went through season ticket holders first and actually couldn't get to the 16,000 number. So I believe they just opened it up to regular ticket sales. So, you know, not enough season ticket holders felt comfortable with going to the game and, you know, the situation it was. So, yeah, I believe they just told them, like, regular tickets. But yeah, I guess, you know, if you're in one of those areas where fans are allowed, I guess they go through the season ticket holder list first, and then whatever's left is just general, you know, general public.
Were all the fans required to wear a mask last night?
You know, I don't know, because I don't know what Missouri is under, but most of the fans I saw had masks on.
Okay.
So,
well, that would
be a
prudent thing to do. I mean, let's face it, that's still still very uncertain conditions going on right now. So that would be the correct thing for the fans to do, both for whoever's in the stands with them and for themselves.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you would think, but, you know, there's always a few that, you know, want to stand out and want to get the attention drawn to them. And, you know, I'm not, you know, God, you know, it's, I have, you know, freedom of whatever, and I'm not going to wear this mask, and, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, we've had this debate before. It's just, again, it's just people starving for attention that, you know, want to find their way onto the news. So who knows?
Well, it's even when there wasn't a pandemic, you know that at the end of the season in Green Bay, for example, there'll be a few fans in the last game of the year who take their shirts off.
Right. So, you know, yeah, there's always, well, you know, they do that anywhere there's winter weather, you know, for football, you can always find some goofs, you know, taking their shirts off.
Exactly.
I guess if you're drinking, you know, you stay warm. I do know they didn't allow tailgating. That was the one thing they They said before the game was there would be no tailgating. I don't know if that's the rule throughout the NFL, but it was last night for the Chiefs game.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it varies from state to state.
Yeah, and, you know, you think it has to. I mean, just like, you know, anything else, unless the NFL asks their teams to, you know, because it's a very select few that can actually go to the games. You know, like I believe Florida can have people, and I think Texas can, you know, along with Missouri. But I don't know how many other states are allowing fans to go to games, and, you know, we'll have hope, you know, hopefully it works out and there's no issue. But I guess as long as you keep.
You think that would mar your enjoyment of the game, the fact that, say, for example, the first Bears-Detroit game on Sunday, no fans in attendance, would that mar your enjoyment of the game?
No, you know, because I don't pay attention to the fans anyways. You know, I mean, I don't care who's at the game, you know, unless one of my buddies is at the game and I'm trying to find them on television. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, I don't even, you know, pay attention. I mean, do you look at the crowd or listen to the crowd?
At a crucial moment in the game, I mean, when the fans are roaring, there's 70,000, 80,000 fans in attendance and the game's going to come down to the last-second field goal or a last-second play, then the fans are going to be a factor, depending on if they're rooting for the home team or not. There will be a factor, I think, in your enjoying the game.
Like I said, it won't bother me, you know, one way or the other, you know, watching the game. You know, the game itself is more, you know, important to me. And, you know, that was my problem last night is I got bored really quickly with it, you know, just watching the sloppy play. And then, you know, they had rain in the second half, which I didn't watch a lot of, but I'm sure made it worse. So.
Well, another thing is that the first game of the year, so it's not really a crucial game for either team, so I'm sure that's going to get your interest on a little bit also.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, sadly, with the way, even if there was preseason, with the way NFL teams now handle their players, the first couple weeks is generally very much like preseason anyways, and I assume now that we won't have a preseason, we'll probably go 4 weeks deep before we get any really good football out of all the teams just because of the lack of preseason.
Yeah, I would say you're right about that. I'd say 3 or 4 weeks before they start playing up to their normal par. So we're going to have to deal with sloppy play for the first few weeks. Of course, even with the Bears playing at their best, it would be sloppy anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you've watched the NFL the last few years, you know the season always starts out like this, and the games are bad and actually difficult to watch. You just hope you have your favorite team is a good team, and you know they actually find ways to win these games. Otherwise, it's a rough start to the season. So,
yeah, unless you're betting on one of the teams. Then you might be a little more attentive to the action.
Obviously the other thing that'll save the NFL is, you know, it's easier to bet than a lot of the other sports. So, you know, that'll help fan interest always because, you know, people are always willing to put some money down on it or, you know, you got your fantasy leagues or whatever else is happening. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that you'll be a lot more excited watching a game, even if it's a bad game, as long as your team has a possibility of winning and you win a few bucks, depending on the outcome of the game.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, there's always the markets that do really well. You know, Chicago's going to do really well. Philadelphia is another town that, you know, even though their fans are strange, supports football. Dallas has fans all over because they're, you know, America's team. The Raiders are another team like that. So, you know, I don't know if Kansas City and Houston were the biggest rating draws. You know, I know Kansas City is probably, if not the best team, one of the best teams and a favorite to go back to the Super Bowl. But I, you know, Houston obviously is looked at as, you know, the second team in Texas. So,
yeah, they're certainly not,
you know,
considered America's team. When you got
right.
to go against Dallas, and it's been that way. Dallas has been kind of considered America's team for years and years now, quite some time.
Since the '70s, you know. So yeah, it's not a, you know, I wasn't surprised the ratings were down. What surprised me more was by how much they were down, you know, because 13% is a big number.
Yeah, I had a feeling it might be down, but I didn't think it would be that large a figure, like 13%. I thought maybe half might be more reasonable, 6-7%, because they're going against playoffs in two sports.
So yeah, but yeah, for whatever reason, and you know, I mean, again, who knows? You know, I don't know what the Sunday night game, or I think it's the Steelers and the Giants Monday night. You know, that might do okay because it's a New York team. You know, and again, Pittsburgh being Pennsylvania, you know, the Steelers have been a juggernaut. You know, they have what, 5 or 6 Super Bowls, so you know, it's possible that could do really well.
Yeah, they should do okay.
I think oddly, this is the first week they do those. I think they do 2 Monday night games. I don't know. Let me see if I can figure this out here. Yeah, the Sunday night game has Dallas and the Rams, so that should do okay. Yeah, Monday is the Steelers are at the Giants, but the second Monday night game is Tennessee at Denver. I don't expect that's going to do too well.
No, I don't think that's a great matchup, that's for sure.
So, you know, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, and obviously the big game that everybody's talking about and everybody wants to see is the, I'm going to guess this is the second game on Fox this week, the national game, is, you know, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. So, you know, everybody wants to see Tom Brady, and, you know, they're playing another good team. You know, New Orleans is one of those high-powered offensive teams. So, you know, a game like that will do really well, and I don't think there'll be any competition for it. So,
yeah, that's a 325 game, and, of course, there'll be a big curiosity factor among the football fans because to see Tom Brady – not playing for New England.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that, you know, and that's the thing a lot of people want to see is, you know, how will he do not being a Patriot? And there's a chance that, you know, the Tampa Bay's best wide receiver, Mike Evans, may miss the game. I believe he's got a hamstring, so he hasn't practiced all week, and he's, you know, a game time decision, as they call it. So, you know, that could add, you know, that'll add a little more drama there with how that's going to go. And, you know, again, I don't think they're running against anything. You know, there'll be some baseball games, but I'm guessing the Tampa Bay Rays probably don't do very well on television because they don't draw when we can have fans. And, you know, New Orleans doesn't have a baseball team.
No.
No. So yeah, I would assume that, you know.
Yeah, I have a feeling there'll be a huge rating for them. That'll be a good rating for them for sure.
There won't be an NHL playoff game. There won't be an NBA playoff game, and even the NASCAR race is Saturday night, so they won't even lose the probably minor number of fans that would go watch the NASCAR race. So they'll, you know, they're gonna have a pretty inclusive audience. So I would think that would do well, but. You just never know now with the way things are. Maybe people will be binge watching something on Netflix and forget the game is on.
Yeah, well, you have to wonder about the. I think initially they'll do very well in the rating, but can they keep it up for the entire game, especially if it's a blowout?
Yeah, you know, and that's always the tough part. You know, you just never know if it is a game, you know, how many people turn away. But, you know, I think the fact that it's going to be the only game on will, you know, will help that. So.
Yeah, the only problem is, if there's competition in baseball, because with a 60-game schedule and so many teams going to be in the playoffs, that all the hometown fans will be watching their team in action.
Yeah, you know, that would be, you know, those would be the only people who would turn away, you know, those kind of people. But, you know, I mean, even looking at the baseball schedule, you know, there are only four games that start after 3 o'clock on Sunday. So it's, you know, still not a, you know, not a huge kind of sampling there. And, you know, I mean, like one of the games is Seattle at Arizona. That's not going to matter. But, you know, the other six at least include playoff teams. It's San Francisco at San Diego, Philadelphia at Miami, and then Houston at the Dodgers. So.
Yeah, those should be interesting games.
But, yeah, you know, again, it's just, you know, if it's a good game, they're not going anywhere. They'll still watch the football game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of ratings they get. I'm sure everybody will be playing, and the sponsors will be paying close attention to see how they do this Sunday.
Yeah, you know, and especially coming off a bad rating, you know, they're going to want to be able to come back with something, you know, something good. So, but, you know,
yeah,
who knows?
We'll have to wait and see, and we'll see how if they bounce back. I think they'll bounce back to some extent, though, on Sunday. I think they will, rating-wise.
Yeah. So now, you know, we were talking a little bit, you know, in our money league when we redid our roster, one of the pitchers Mr. Fantasy and I were able to find was Zach Wheeler of the Phillies. And, you know, he's been really, you know, he's been good for us since we picked him up. And, you know, we had him in our lineup this week because he was due to make two starts. He actually had a really good start. I believe he started, might have been Monday, and the Phillies bullpen came in and blew it for him. So we got a limited number of points, and we weren't too worried because we were going to get the second start from him this week. And I saw yesterday that he wasn't going to make the start, and I was like, okay, well, what the hell happened to him? Well, I find out today, and I'm trying to figure out if maybe you've done this, but apparently he ripped a fingernail putting on his pants. Now, I've been getting dressed on my own for many years, and I actually do it in the dark for work because I start work at 3:15 in the morning. And I have never managed to rip a fingernail. You've been getting dressed longer than I have because you're a tad bit older than I am. Have you ever managed yourself getting dressed?
I have never injured myself, and of course I'm not the athlete that you are, but we're both consistent in that we've managed to do these things over the years without getting hurt. And I think that's a bizarre injury. I mean, that's of course there have been a few other bizarre injuries this year for some of the players. That's number one.
Yeah, here's his quote. It says, "Just one of those stupid things. I tripped a little bit. I lost my balance, and my jeans yanked out of my hand." Okay.
that's kind of laughable when you think about it. Did that say how long he's going to be out of? Just going to miss this one start?
You know, as of right now, they have him pegged to miss one start. Joe Girardi, you know, manages the Phillies now. Mentioned that his quote was, "We don't think it's an IL thing, but it depends on what happens to the nail." Apparently, when Wheeler got to the clubhouse, the finger was swollen, so they taped it up to make sure, you know, the nail kind of hopefully stays on, but if he loses the nail, he's going on the IL.
Yeah, he'll miss two or three starts. I mean, that's going to take him right to the end of the season.
You know, and I'm sure you remember Sammy Sosa losing a toenail and missed a whole bunch of games because of the toenail.
Yeah, there have been some bizarre injuries over the years, but it seems like it's happened two or three times at different pitchers this year.
Yeah. So, and then there's another oddity today in baseball. I don't know if you've seen this one, but the Tampa Bay Rays I heard somebody say this was the first time it's ever happened, but then I heard somebody else say that it's the first time since 1900. Their starting lineup 1 through 9 are all left-handed hitters, no switch hitters, all left-handed hitters. So that's kind of interesting that they ended up going that route. And they are facing the Red Sox, who are starting a right-hander by the name of Andrew Triggs. But if I was the Red Sox and I had a long man who's a lefty, I would probably have him up pretty early.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so.
Well, I thought that was pretty interesting that they're going with all left-handed hitters.
Yeah, that is unusual and very interesting as well. And I have to ask you a question about the previous thing we were talking about, Zach Wheeler's bizarre injury and the fact that he may miss one or two starts. What do you think the NHL players will think about that?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously if you're an NHL player, you're taping it up, you're putting it in your glove, and you're going out on the ice. You know, the fact that he's a pitcher is what obviously complicates this much more. But yeah, I mean, the things the NHL players play with would, you know, would sideline anybody else in any other sport for months at a time. You know, just that simple.
Well, look at it this way, but regarding Zach Wheeler, let him pitch anyway, and maybe they would help his breaking ball.
Yeah, you know, you never know, except, you know, of course, the problem is if the nail's coming off, you can't pitch with it. So, you know, if the finger was just swollen, it would probably be something he could do, but the fact that, you know, if the nail is actually coming off, that's a no-go.
No. And, yeah, I'm sure that the Phillies aren't too happy about what happened to Mr. Wheeler.
No, you know, and I mean, if it was just an accident, I mean, you know, like you said, we've seen, you know, so many stupid things. You know, I mean, I don't know how many guys have allegedly said, you know, they tripped over their dog and hurt themselves, or didn't Sammy Sosa also get hurt sneezing one time?
Yeah, definitely. He was out for some time.
I remember that. And, you know, there's, you know, just all kinds of oddities that, you know, that happened to guys. I actually had a kid when I was coaching a team. I was coaching an all-star team of 14 and 15-year-olds. And humorously, his mother always told him not to run in the house. And being a kid, he didn't listen. And she had washed the kitchen floor, and he went running across it, fell, and broke his hand. So, you know, just kind of.
Was he a pitcher?
No, fortunately, he was just an outfielder, so I was able to replace him on the roster. But even so, he was one of the better left-handed hitters on the team and one of the faster guys, so that kind of hurt.
Yeah, for sure. I seem to remember the old Cub on outfield, by the way, Jose Cardinal having some bizarre injuries as well.
So, yeah, you know, I'm sure there's been quite a few. You know, I mean, I remember locally, didn't Corey Crawford get hurt when he said he fell up some stairs or something? He was at a concert and fell on stairs or something like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation about that one, though, as to why he fell.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm sure he was hammered, but, you know, that's just, again, speculation.
Right. So. And, yeah, Yeah, that I'm sure the speculation was probably accurate too.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, there's, you know, again, there's so, you know, so many. I'm sure there's a list somewhere. You know, you could probably, you know, use Dan's favorite search engine and Bing it and put down, you know, put in weird sports injuries, and they would probably come up with a bunch for you. But, you know, just one of those things. So, but, you know, kind of gravitating back to regular sports, you know, the Yankees have been really scuffling with all these injuries, and they're actually struggling to hold on to that eighth and final playoff spot in the American League, if you can believe it. But they did.
Aren't they 500 right now? Are they just 500?
They're 20. If this is updated correctly, they're 23-21.
Okay.
If it's not updated correctly, they're 24-21 because they shut out Baltimore in the first game of a doubleheader. So. But they may actually get some good news. Apparently, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are on the verge of returning possibly this weekend. So we'll see if that helps them. But,
Their timing? Their timing can't be great when they come back after that long layoff for both of them.
No, well, you know, Judge, I think, will be okay. Stanton's been out a long time, so I won't be surprised if he has issues. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely something they need because they're hurting. They didn't play last night. That's right. The game got rained out. They're slowly starting to get their, you know, their injured guys back, and they have managed to win two in a row, but they're 3-7 in their last 10. So, I could just imagine the uproar if they don't get in the playoffs after them being the favorite to win the World Series.
Dodgers. They're playoffs now. And I thought I looked the other day and they were 21-21, so they must be on a mini winning streak then.
Yeah, well, they've won two in a row, so maybe they are – you know, maybe it is updated. Let me see if they've updated it here. I've got the box score. Yeah, 23-21. So they've won their last two. So they were 21-21. Of course, being the fact that it was only seven innings, Gerrit Cole got a complete game two-hit shutout and struck out nine. If it would have been a nine-inning game, he wouldn't have kept going because he threw 114 pitches. So
yeah. They're now in third place, correct, in their division.
Yeah, they're just are they just percentage points behind Toronto, I believe. So, it looks like they're a game and a half behind Toronto. So, and then
so
they're
on the bubble now. They only have 16 games left, so they're on the bubble. Are they? I wouldn't be. You know, they'll probably make the playoffs, but it's not a given. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you know, I think the advantage they have is when you start looking at the American League, it's looking like the eight teams are kind of locked in now. They've kind of shown themselves, because like the teams chasing are just they've kind of slipped too far back with. You know, maybe the exception of the Mariners, who only are two games behind the Astros, but the only way they're getting in is if they finish in second. They're not going to be a wild card team. So, it looks like the Yankees will get in. It's just going to depend, will they be the second place team in the East, or will they have to play in the wild card game?
Right, and there's a good chance that three teams from the American League Central will be in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, it looks like it's, in some way, shape, or form, it'll be the White Sox, Twins, and Indians, the Rays, the Jays, and the Yankees, and then the A's and the Astros are the way it looks like they're going to be the eight teams in the American League. So
yeah, that looks like a pretty much of a given, and somehow, I don't think Joe Madden's team's going to make a big enough comeback to make it into the playoffs.
No, but you know, hey, they did get out of last place, so that's a plus.
They are not in last. They are not in last place anymore. That's right. Next to last place.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a couple games on the Rangers. Of course, you know, the Rangers did sell off some bigger pieces at the trading deadline, and the Angels really didn't. So, you know, there you go.
Well, they're what, about 8 or 9 games below 500, roughly. The Angels.
Right now, the Angels are 9 games below 500. So,
not a great managerial debut for Mr. Madden.
No, no, you know, and it just, you know, in reality, it kind of shows the fraud that he is as a manager, because anybody can win with talent. You know, it's just, can you take that talent to the next level and win it all? So it's clear that he's not the end-all, be-all manager that a lot of people think he is. But, you know, he'll always be a hero in Chicago because they did win a World Series with him, even though he did everything in his power to give it away. So.
And he almost did in that last game. That's right.
Yeah. So,
I'm still recovering from the last game.
Yeah, you know, like playoff-wise in the National League, it's a little shakier. You know, it looks like the Dodgers and the Padres will both get in the West. You know, the Cubs should be a sure thing in the Central, and the Braves should be a sure thing in the East. You know, those other four spots, you know, the Phillies are going to have to hang on, and, you know, so are the Cardinals to get those second-place spots, but you know, the Marlins, the Mets, and, you know, even the, you know, the Brewers and the Giants are all in that wild card race. So it's going to make it, you know, really interesting. And I know I saw somebody who likes the Rockies schedule so much that he thinks they can make a charge and get in the wild card game. So there's a lot of teams still in, you know, in the National.
To overcome. Too many teams to overcome for the Rockies to have a chance in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, you know, that's what I thought too, but, you know, I guess it's, you know, something to talk about, so.
But Miami is impressing me. I mean, they've stuck around a lot longer than I thought they would. But they still have a legit shot at making the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've managed to, you know, to hang on as long as they did, but you know, well, you know, again, we'll see. I mean, you know, it's just such a weird season that they probably deserve to go into the playoffs. So,
yeah, and I still think it's going to be hard to really give 100% credibility to whoever winds up winning the World Series this year.
Yeah, you know, there's no, you know, no credibility at all if you win this. And, you know, I mean, in some ways it's too bad because, you know, you look at a team like the Dodgers and, you know, they look like they're a World Series winner. I mean, the way they're put together, you know, they're just a fantastic team. But I don't know if you could say that about any other team. You know, like they talked about it with the Yankees, but obviously that's fallen apart. You know, I don't know if the Braves will get out of the first round, but their saving grace right now is the fact that Cole Hamels is finally healthy and can go in their rotation because everybody else is hurt. And, you know, I mean, I like Cole Hamels, but I don't know if I want to count on him. So.
I wouldn't.
So, yeah, it's, you know, it you know, and that may make for, you know, the real interesting mix. I mean, even the Dodgers, you know, Walker Buehler is back on the injured list. You know, he's been having blister issues for the past month. You know, if they lose him, I know they've got a lot of really good young pitching, but, you know, the play, that's a lot to ask for playoffs to send a kid out there. That's a lot of pressure. You know, maybe no fans would help a situation like that because he wouldn't be getting cheered on the road. But I think whoever has the healthiest pitching staff may be the team that wins it all.
Yeah, well, that's the name of the game normally in the playoffs is pitching and defense too. If you have a good defensive team, that certainly helps.
So, yeah, because you know you kind of start to look at the teams and you know Charlie Morton's been hurt for Tampa Bay. The Blue Jays have been pretty lucky. I know they lost their rookie Nate Pearson, but you know they acquired a couple of guys. We talked about the Yankees. The Sox just lost Keuchel. You know, I think like the Twins and the Indians have been okay, so they may be big players. The A's have stayed relatively healthy, but you know the Astros don't know about Verlander, and they've lost quite a few other guys. You know, we mentioned the Braves, the Phillies. We talked about Wheeler. You know, the Marlins actually got healthy; they got their best pitcher back in Sandy Alcantara. You know, the Cubs we know are down a couple guys. I think the Cardinals are down a guy. You know, if the Brewers get in, I think they're relatively healthy. But, you know, the Dodgers are down Bueller, and I think the Padres' injuries are in the bullpen, so they may be okay starting-wise. So, it's just going to be a matter of, hey, are these guys healthy enough to win it all?
Yeah, there have been a lot of injuries this season. I'm wondering if it's because of the extraordinary circumstances having a factor in it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the schedule because there aren't, you know, a ton of off days that, you know, these spoiled kind of prima donna athletes are used to. You know, and I mean, I don't know if you heard LeBron crying about the fact that the Lakers have to play all 9 o'clock games. So they moved him to 6 o'clock last night just to get him to shut up. So, you know, unfortunately it's what real people deal with on an everyday basis. And it's humorous that professional athletes can't handle it. So.
No. As you always pointed out, the NBA is a players' league anyway, so maybe he has so much clout that he can actually get the networks and the NBA to do what he wants.
Yeah, he was the one who got All-Star Week suspended or stretched out when he cried about not having enough time to spend with his family, so they extended it. And he went to Miami to hang out with his friends and then to Dallas to watch a football game. So I don't know what happened to spending time with his family, but obviously he had other plans. So, you're talking about guys who have been babied since people realized they had talent at 14 or 15 years old. You know, these guys have had everything handed to them. So, you know, while they work out and they do those things, when it comes time to really put your nose to the grindstone, they can't handle it.
There are some exceptions, not all that many.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously there are a few, you know, like, the NHL players are kind of a different story, you know, and the football players are, you know, kind of tougher guys, but God, you know, with the NBA and the baseball players, they're going to cry about anything they can get their hands on. It's just how they are. So, you know, it's unfortunate.
It is, and I'm wondering how divisive the when they come through a new contract, how divisive it's going to be in baseball.
All right, well, it's time for me to hit the music, but before I do, you got to answer one question. Do the Bears win on Sunday?
Tough one. I'll say that the Bears will lose on Sunday.
Boy, there we go. We're going out on a down note, then. It's too long. Well, the news is leaving. Dan will be back Monday at 4:30. So welcome home. While we're going, sportsradio.com, look for the new blog tomorrow. Hit the link, follow it over to Facebook page, and give it a like. Remember, the Twitter feed is at sportsradio. I'm on Twitter at Berkman. Keep on seeing you guys if you want to look me up. And hey, still listening live, you can send by Scott, tunein.com, listen whenever you want. Have a good weekend.